Welcome back, everyone, to Roni Zone Radio, episode 11. That's right, episode 11. And I just really wanted to stop and thank the folks that have listened and thank the folks maybe that are downloading this when we have number 20 out. I think this is a great show, and I think we've really covered a lot of interesting topics in interesting ways. And I think that we've all learned something. When I ask questions of people, I'm trying to come to that place from a place of not knowing, so that when I ask a question, I'm learning, as well as somebody else. Maybe if I give a comment back to them or something like that. This is just a great format, and I'm so pleased the way it's turned out. And now we come to episode 11. It's a bittersweet episode because we come to the end of a four-part interview with Nathan P. Butler, the founder of StarWarsFanWorks.com. That's not the only part of his life. He has other feelings, other thoughts, other beliefs, other things that he's interested in. And I really appreciate Nathan so much for giving me my start in Star Wars Fan Audio, and also for being so open and honest in the interview. I think we've all learned something about him, about ourselves, about the world, about relationships, about faith, thought. Wow, it has really been a great time. And we're going to present the final portion of the interview with Nathan today. So here it is, Nathan P. Butler, part 4.
Let's talk about your spiritual journey. I think you kind of mentioned that on one of the shows at some point. So if you could kind of briefly take me through how you started out finding God or finding your religious way.
Okay. Well, I was born into a Christian family, I guess Baptist.
Okay.
Would be the best way to describe the denomination, and went to the same church all throughout when I was growing up, went to Bible school, all that kind of stuff, went to Bible camps throughout the summer and stuff like that. But when I was young, I heard the stories, I learned the stories, but there were stories that you would learn right alongside while you were watching Transformers or watching G.I. Joe.
Okay.
There were stories that in many cases, they stuck in your mind. But as you learn more in school, there's sort of this indoctrination into the notion of science and reason above all, mm-hmm. you might say. Sort of an aftermath of the Enlightenment mentality, historical era,
mm-hmm.
where and you slowly start to think, well, this really couldn't have happened. It's a story. It's a parable. It's a moralistic tale to teach you a lesson. But literally such and such couldn't happen.
Right.
And it starts to seem more and more spiritual and symbolic than literal or at all something that really latches on as a kind of a path for you in many cases, and at least to a lot of the people that I knew. So it became more a matter of when we did go to church, it was more like, this is what you did on Sunday morning. You sit there, you be quiet, you leave, you go to McDonald's.
Yep.
And what you worried about most of the time while you were there was, well, do I want nuggets or do I want a burger?
Sure.
Because it was routine, not an experience that you necessarily took as much of a part in. And the whole Bible study thing was more the fun and the, or not the Bible camp thing, I guess you'd say, more fun and more spending time with other kids your age and that sort of thing. But even then, part of it was based on, if I know this Bible trivia, I'm going to get candy.
Yep.
If I do this like trivia thing. So to me it became something that was sort of just what was done. And the more that I grew up, I am very education oriented.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say I'm an intellectual, because I don't think I am, but to a degree I am definitely into learning and understanding more.
Right.
I think it's kind of one of those things where the more you understand, the more interesting life in general can become. You know, the more that you understand how certain things work, the more you understand the different ripple effects from it, you can sort of see the world in a much grander picture.
Mm-hmm.
And as I got into it, I started to, you know, learn more about science, learn more about history and things like that, got more into science fiction, and in many cases, notions like a lot of the science fiction stories and some aspects of science push you away from religion.
Sure.
Push you away from this spiritual side.
Mm-hmm.
You either wind up, like, from a scientific standpoint, looking towards, say, religion instead of creationism, or why certain things, like the moon turning blood red and signs in the sky and stuff, in theory, scientifically, shouldn't be able to happen and that sort of thing.
Right.
And you get in the sci-fi aspect of, you see so many different powers and stuff, we say, okay, well, you know, it wasn't a miracle, it was telekinesis,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. And all that together, plus studying history and seeing all the things like the Crusades and the Inquisition,
sure.
kind of pushed me into less and less wanting to be part of any type of formalized religion.
Right.
Seeing things growing up when slowly, like, homosexual rights and stuff
mm-hmm.
starting to emerge, and seeing not people talking about the political aspects of it or the human aspects of it, but taking the extreme, you know, all homosexuals should be burned at a stake type approaches in some cases.
Right.
Really just kind of cemented that whole idea of trying to stay away from organized religion overall.
Mm-hmm.
And to my mind at the time, I mean, I didn't really know as much as I probably should have about, you know, what is now my religion or any other religion at the time. To me, the acts of the men involved in the religion, like in the Crusades,
mm-hmm.
were inseparable from the religion itself.
Okay.
Like the whole thing about, you know, Friday the 13th emerging from the deaths of the Knights Templar when they were betrayed by the Pope.
Mm.
You know, that kind of thing. Oh, well, that was the Pope, and that's what Christianity was back then. That's what became the Catholic Church was back then, that sort of thing.
Mm.
So I started thinking about, you know, I believed in something. I can't imagine all this being out here as an accident.
Right.
And I sense sort of sometimes that there must be a guiding force in some cases, because some coincidences are just too coincidental to really be by chance.
Sure, sure.
So I started thinking more in terms of what you might call deism. The idea that there is something,
mm-hmm.
there is some guiding force, guiding spirit, whatever, but that no religion, no organized human religion, human thought has ever pinned it down correctly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there's something, but it's either the notion that all religions are wrong, or all religions have some validity to them, so they're all right, but looking at it in a different way, you might say.
Okay.
Depending on, you know, whether you want to take sort of a glass half empty, glass half full kind of approach to it. And it took me a while, until I was really early in college, to really stop and try to go back and study some things. And I kind of had felt this sort of, I kind of felt a calling to study the faith that I grew up in, the Christian faith, a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And alongside studying others. So as I was taking some world cultures classes that were required, where I learned a little bit about Islam and Hinduism and stuff like that, I was also taking some introductory Christian religion classes to fill some fine arts requirements.
Okay.
And I had seen these books. I know this is going to sound so cliche, but I had seen these books with these really cool little covers and stuff at the local Read More bookstore for a long time. And I always thought, you know, those look really interesting, kind of sci-fi-ish religion stuff. I really want to read them, but I really can't shell out the money for them right now. So I finally ask for these books for Christmas. And Christmas comes around, and there I am with Left Behind, mm. Tribulation Force, Nikolai, and Soul Harvest, the first four books of the Left Behind series.
Sure.
And I read those. As I was taking those courses, as I was learning more about the different aspects of it, and the spiritual journeys of the characters within that book really got my attention, because they approached it the same way that I was.
Mm.
This whole idea of, well, there's something, but how can you justify all these acts of men on behalf of God, who said they were working on behalf of God, with the teachings?
Mm-hmm.
And it's thanks in part to the explanations of the professor I had for the Christian class, but also thanks to the explanations that were given to those characters within the book that was sort of speaking to the audience, I started to be able to separate that notion of people who do bad things in the name of religion and otherwise. And of course, we got a huge wake-up call on that later on when it came to the separation between religion and otherwise on 9/11.
Right.
And the whole, you know, the analogy brought up on the West Wing of being Islamic extremist is to Islam as KKK is to Christianity.
Mm. You
know, people who take it and twist it.
Yeah.
And once I was able to separate those out, I found myself just kind of being drawn into learning more about Christianity until finally, during my freshman year of college, I actually, I guess you'd call me a born-again Christian, I guess.
Okay.
I became Christian then because, and I think it kind of comes back to one of the old Chasing Amy lines about coming into something of your own right, by your own decision.
Okay.
Not something that was forced on you, not something that was expected of you, but you learn, understand, and then make up your own mind. I think that's part of actually why I've made it kind of a backbone of Chrono Radio about the whole don't take my word for something or anybody else's. Listen to the sides and then think for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, one of the most fundamental choices I had to make in my life came down to learn what you can, learn all the different sides, and then decide for yourself. And I feel, I mean, they don't lie when they say that, you know, when you accept something like that on your own, you sort of feel a change.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And since then, it's actually helped me in dealing with, you know, my family, because my dad, I was kind of like him for a long time. I mean, he was kind of like me, I guess you'd say, in that there's sort of a so-called butler temper. I mean, not like abusive temper or anything like that, but just, you know, a tendency to be kind of irritable at times and that sort of thing. And he and I didn't really know each other as well as we probably should have before my parents got divorced. It was kind of after we started visiting him that I really got to know him a bit better and everything. But in the last few years, he has become much more spiritual or much more religion focused. He's been spending more time with his church, getting more active, Bible study, all kinds of stuff like that. And him opening up in that way has changed him a lot, and it's given us a spiritual common ground, I guess, that helps add and deepen the connection between he and I. I think he and I have a much better relationship, and I kind of wonder if, you know, if I would have talked to him about my faith when I came to it finally when I was in college, would we have had a couple of more years before I moved away where that same kind of connection would have existed, before him became, like, instead of him becoming the more spiritual and me realizing that, you know, that connection was there, if I would have been the one to reach out and perhaps help draw that out in him.
Hmm.
You know, one of those things you just kind of look back and you got to wonder. But yeah, my journey would basically be Christian in name, but not in practice, because I really didn't know what it was I was supposed to be believing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of the thing that was done. That was what was expected. Then deist would be the best word for it, and then Christian, again, by my own decision.
What do you have to do before you die?
What I have to do before I die? I would say that the big thing for me are just, at some point, I want to, you know, just kind of, I guess it's just kind of a list, a quick list.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing too spectacular. I would like to travel some, though I don't know where. I would love to be able to say that I had touched foot on all the continents, but I doubt that's going to be possible, because as far as I know, they're not letting people just go hang out, you know, and step off in Antarctica. I'd like to get married. I'd like to be a child raised to adulthood. I'd like probably at some point to further my education again, maybe go for a master's degree or something like that. To me, it's not like there are things that I necessarily need to see or need to do before I die, so long as during my lifetime there are things that I don't do. And the main thing that I don't want to do is have that big negative impact on anyone.
Okay.
I'd rather spend my time educating, uplifting, helping, entertaining, more so than having anybody left worse off for having known me.
Okay.
Sort of my take on it.
Cool. How would you like to be remembered?
Yeah, I would just say just remembered as a positive, just kind of a positive influence on either, you know, people's lives or different situations. I think I look at it very similarly, to tell you the truth, and you know, it's one of those things that still tears me up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a while since I've seen it. But the last episode of Quantum Leap, before Sam has to make his choice in the end, Sam Beckett, of course, was bouncing around through time, putting right what went wrong, which I think is a very noble goal, to try to help where you can, when you can, even if it's only one person at a time.
Sure.
But his comments, he finds himself sitting next to a being he believes is a manifestation of God, or time, or fate, or whoever has been leaping him around. And he's trying to come to grips with the notion that perhaps he's the one controlling where he goes and when he goes. And the question is asked to him, why did you invent Project Quantum Leap? And he says, to travel in time. And the guy asks, to put right what once went wrong? He says, yes, but not one life at a time. And the response he gets back is basically, at the risk of inflating your ego, you've done much more than that. The lives you touched others, and those lives others.
Mm.
You've done a lot of good, and you can do a lot more.
Mm.
And that's sort of the way I look at it, as I want to try to positively influence as many people or situations as I can that I come across within my life, so that hopefully maybe some of that positivity spins off in a positive direction for them and maybe to someone else. I mean, I guess it's, I haven't seen the movie, but I guess it's sort of a pay it forward type of idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do good and don't expect good to come back to you as a result. Don't expect, you know, repayment or something like that.
Yep.
Expect hopefully that good will spread and they will perhaps do something for somebody else.
Well, and Nathan, it's been a fantastic time talking to you on the phone outside of the framework of six films about Wookiees and Stormtroopers. And I just want to say how much I appreciate you as a person and as the founder of Star Wars FanWorks. I don't think you have really realized the lives that you've touched through just encouraging and giving a place for people and cheering them on and being the father to the fatherless kids that maybe do the work within the Galactic Senate and Star Wars FanWorks. I don't think you really will see it all in this life, and I think that you have yet to really step into your destiny, but I think it's close, and I think you're seeing it just as things progress, and I think there's things that are kind of shifting around, and it may seem like things are turning upside down, but I see that you will be stepping into something that you've been made for, and I think you'll know it when you see it. And I really just want to say that I appreciate you as a person, and I know that there's going to be great things coming from you about Star Wars and not about Star Wars.
Well, with sadness, we end our interview with Nathan P. Butler. I can't believe how amazing these interviews have been, because they're just so, they really show the breadth of this show and what we're really looking to do. And by talking about issues that are of a biblical or a Christian nature and that aren't, we don't have to stick to one type of venue. We can talk about whatever we want to, but there is a central core and a central theme, and it grows into those other areas. And I'm just thrilled. And again, I thank you for downloading this. I thank you for listening. Please, please, please drop by JRD-now.com, and also please send me an email at jeff.roney, R-O-N, like Nancy, E-Y, at gmail.com. And another thing is, if you're a podcast listener, I thank you for that, I want you to know that if you go to JRD-now.com and download the same show that we're doing, is there are going to be extras in that show. There could be a song, maybe. There could be a reference to a web page. There could be a different little story. There could be something extra. If you really love the show, then I also recommend that you would download both. Is a podcast maybe easier for some? But if you go to the website and download there, there could be some extras involved. Thank you for listening. And this is Jeff Roney signing off, and I'll see you next time.
Roney Zone Radio.